Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you guys so much for sharing. We are going to get this week, we're going to try to get up on the website all of the details, all the information. For that missions trip, but also on March 6th, we're going to talk a little bit more about it, and we're hoping to take up a big offering to send on missions too. So don't miss that day. It's going to be awesome. You know, I think I would preach a lot better if like I had some 80s rock behind me. If we can make that happen next week, that'd be awesome. Hey, grab your Bibles and go with me. We're going to preach a little bit today. For those of you that had a couple weeks ago, I announced that we're going to be doing a young adults gathering, my wife and I, at our house. And so we have all that information set. And so if you just text the word interest, all of the information will now come back to you. Text the word interest to 858-943-2221. Don't cheat if you're not a young adult. Some of you think you're younger than you are. But all of the information, our address and all that will come back to you and the time, and we're going to have fun. It's going to be a fun night. So turning your Bibles, though, to the book of 1 John, New Testament book, 1 John, and we're in a series on prayer. And how many of you guys have been enjoying this series and getting something out of it? Here's what I love about this series on prayer that we're in right now is at my small group on Wednesday night, my wife and I co-lead a small group with another couple. And man, it just turned into like we were just praying for people pretty much that whole entire time. People just opening up, here's what's going on, here's something I'm dealing with. And what I love about it is we're not just talking about prayer, but we're actually doing it. We're praying for one another. One of the things I saw even this morning as my wife said, hey, can some people come up and pray for other people? I saw small group people coming up and praying for people that were in their small group. And I just thought that was so cool. And so well done, church, because that's really my hope. My hope is that we as a church learn the power of prayer and how to pray more. Because here's the thing you need to understand about prayer. Prayer is one of the most powerful tools we have as believers, yet it is one of the most underused tools that we have. As a believer, man, there's honestly, it's given to us, and man, it's the most powerful tool we have to be able to pray for one another, to be able to pray for the will of God for our life, to be able to pray for ourselves. But yet, if I was to take this survey, which don't raise your hands and say, hey, how many of you guys prayed at least one time in the last 3 days? You would be shocked how many people couldn't raise their hand on that. We just don't pray like we're supposed to pray. And so it's my hope that we will here at Canvas Church during this series help us understand the importance and the power of prayer. Now, as we've been talking about prayer, obviously the greatest value in prayer is that you're spending time with God. It's not that you're trying to get all of your requests, you know, to him so that those requests can be answered. That does happen in a great exchange. But the greatest part about prayer is that we're literally having communion with God. We're talking with him, which means we learned this last week that sometimes we just need to pause and listen for his response back, right? You ever been in those conversations where the other person talks the whole entire time? Remember, that's not a conversation, it's a lecture, right? And so we want to be in that position of prayer where, man, it's communion with God, that we're talking to God. But here's the reality of prayer. I think that when we go to God in prayer, yes, there's that communion, but we also are expecting God to meet us where we're at, right? We're expecting God to meet maybe some of the requests of our heart. Why else would we pray, right? And so it is a part of prayer that, yes, there's that communion. That's the essential part. But God himself tells us, hey, bring all of your requests to me. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. You have not because you ask not. So God, throughout Scripture, God wants us to bring our requests to him. And so it is an essential part of prayer. But here's one thing I've noticed, that sometimes prayers aren't seeming to get answered. You ever been there before? Am I the only one? You've been praying for something, believing for something, and yet it doesn't seem like the request is being heard by God, or if it is being heard by God, he's ignoring you, or he isn't ignoring you, but the prayer isn't being answered. Well, there's something I've learned that I want to share with you today, that outside of God just not answering your prayer because he knows something better for you, aren't you thankful for that? I know in the process, when we're praying for something and asking God for something and it doesn't happen, we don't necessarily see it that way. We're not like, oh, God, thank you for not answering the thing I've been praying for the last year. you know? Because God, you're the reason you're answering, God, because you got something better. I don't know what it is, but you know. You know, so when we're in the midst of it and we're going through it, we don't necessarily feel that way, but there are times when God just simply doesn't answer our prayer because he knows that he's got something better. And maybe not answering that prayer is the better thing, right? But there's something else I've noticed, and I'm going to share it with you today, and we're calling it prayer blockers, that there are sometimes things in our life that are hindering our prayers to God. So we're going to talk about that today. 1 John 5:14-15. It's going to read you these two verses, but I always like to give a little context about what's taking place because it adds some weight to it. The writer of this book is John, the same one that wrote the Gospel of John, the same one that most theologians presume wrote Revelation and 1st and 2nd, 3rd John. So those are all his books. As you study it out, it's believed that 1st, 2nd, 3rd John are being written to the same group of churches that the book of Revelation was written to. And this group of churches that he's writing to aren't necessarily living the gospel out. Matter of fact, there's this kind of antichrist thing happening. And so what you see as he writes 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John is he's combating that antichrist thing that's happening in some churches, that they're kind of anti the work of Jesus, or they don't believe in the fulfillment of what Jesus did. And so throughout Scripture, he's writing to combat that. And this kind of, in essence, deals with a little bit of that as well. 1 John 5:14-15, he writes, "And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him." I love how he writes this. What does he say? We're confident. We're confident. Why is he saying that so strongly? It goes back to the group that he's writing to. And he's expressing that, no, I know the work that Jesus did, and I'm confident in the work that Jesus did. I'm so confident that I know that he hears us whenever we ask anything that pleases him. Verse 15. "And since we know he hears us when we make our request," that's prayer, "we also know that he will give us whatever we ask for." Now, I want to read to you in the translation that I memorized it in growing up. And I want to read it to you in the New King James Version as well. And it says this: "Now this is the confidence that we have in him," Jesus, "that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." The New Living Translation says, "If we ask for anything that pleases him." The New King James Version says that if we ask anything according to his will. I want you to highlight that, underline that. I'm going to pray, and we're going to talk about some prayer blockers. God, I thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you for what you've already done in this service today. Thank you for what you did last night for these 150-plus young people that gathered here and just worshiping you. God, thank you for the healings, the supernatural healings that took place last night. Thank you for the prophetic words that came out last night. Thank you for the community that was built. Lord, I thank you that you're doing that here this morning for us. And so, God, I ask now in this moment as I preach from this passage, that, Lord, you'd help me create an environment for people to discover your son Jesus, to know your incredible love, and realize the amazing plan that you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Has anybody in here ever shopped for furniture on a budget before? Okay. Most hands go up, right? Maybe you're in a season of life where you don't have to shop for furniture on a budget. But I remember when we just had moved from Vegas back to San Diego, and we were living in a little condo, and we were shopping for furniture on a budget. Now, I think you can think of one place when you're shopping for furniture on a budget that you go to. It starts with an I. Come on, somebody. IKEA, right? Like it is like where you go. That's not just for college students. Come on, somebody. That's for people shopping on a budget. And so I kid you not, like a large portion of our condo was just filled with IKEA furniture. Now, IKEA is fun to go to because you go and they have all of these little rooms set up, right? And so you walk through, and if you really take your time, it could take a couple hours to get through it, especially if you're with my wife. And so we walk through and you see all this stuff, and you know, from about 10 feet out, it looks amazing. Come on, somebody. I still have IKEA stuff in my home, all right? And you get up a little closer and it's like, okay, it's still, you know, it's not bad. They have it bolted to the wall, but you know, it's sturdy, right? and you fall in love with it, and then you go to your bin down below in the warehouse, you pick it up, and then you get it home, and you open it up, and you're like, my God, there are 14 million pieces I have to put together in order for it to look like what it looked like in the store. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And the worst part is, has anybody ever had any missing pieces before from IKEA? Yeah, there's a reason why IKEA has a parts place where you can go pick up spare parts. It's because they're always missing parts. And you get it out, and you lay out what is supposed to be instructions. I'm telling you, like, to put together, like, one little thing, it's like a three-day project. Are you with me? And so if you're like me, pretty soon you just get frustrated with the instructions. Come on, somebody. And you throw that thing to the side, and you just put it together the way you think it needs to be put together. Right? It's kind of like when you were little. I have a picture of Legos up here. Lego box, actually. I don't know if we can pull that up. See that Lego box? Isn't that awesome? Now, when you're 8 years old, because it's 8+, and you're walking through the shopping section, you walk by, you don't see all the little Lego pieces. You see the finished project, right? Like, and you fall in love with that, and you think, oh, this is such a great idea. I want to get this. And your parent is like, my God. Right? Because they know. That's a three-day project. Come on, somebody, right? Because when you open that thing up, all of a sudden there's all of these little pieces, and somehow you've got to make all these little pieces look just like that, okay? And you thought it changed when you got older. It doesn't. It's no longer Lego. It's IKEA, right? It's just you graduated on to something different. It's the same painful process. They have it so beautifully displayed in the store, and that's what you want. But when you get it home, it looks so much different. Here's what I discovered. If you actually follow the instructions to the T, you actually get the finished product. Are you with me? You know? Here's what I've learned in my spiritual growth and in following Jesus. He has a finished product for us. And it is beautiful. And it is wonderful. And he shows you glimpses of that and glimmers of that. And, man, maybe it's as you're reading scripture or maybe it's in a moment of worship or maybe it's in a church service or in a devotional, whatever it is. But then all of a sudden you look at your life and you're like, my God, it doesn't look like that. How do I get it to look like that? Let me tell you something. One of the greatest ways is when we tap in prayer. Because I believe it's in prayer. Yes, we better be in the Word. But I believe it's in prayer where God begins to show us the next step. God begins to show us the next piece. It might not look like the picture. It might not look fully like what you want it to look like. But yet, I guarantee you, if you follow the instructions, something beautiful is going to happen. In 1 John chapter 5, in these verses, John says something very key to our prayer life. And I want to look at it once again. Listen, it doesn't say, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything. Since we know he hears us, see, I just left a part out, didn't I? Here's the key to answered prayers in your life. Here's the key to seeing the picture look like it does on the box. The key is this. Whenever we ask anything that pleases him, or New King James, whenever we ask anything according to his will. In other words, we've got to be in his will. We've got to be pleasing him. And if we're pleasing him and we're in his will and we're walking according to his will and according to the path, guess what? Then yes, we can ask anything according to his will, his pleasure, what he desires. And it will be done. See, there are things that happen in our life that I believe block the prayers that we're praying. And outside of God just saying, I know you think you're praying the right thing right now, but you're not, so I'm going to hold off. Outside of that, I want to discuss, I think, three big prayer blockers that keep us from being in his will and from pleasing him. I'm just going to share these with you real quick. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to be frustrated in my prayer life. That's the one place I want to go and find peace and find connection with God, right? And find vision for, my life and for my family. And, I don't want to be sitting there saying stuff to God and then sit there and be like, God, I can't hear you. I want to hear his voice. So I want to make sure that I don't have these blockers in my life. Let me just share some with you real quick. The first one is this, is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. Sin in our life that we are aware of and sometimes maybe even not aware of, but the reality is if it's unconfessed sin, let's be honest. If you are just simply doing a devotion in the morning, and you're simply showing up to church every now and then, the Holy Spirit is showing you areas in your life. There's not too many of us that have a blaring sin and we are completely oblivious to it. Let's be honest. So when we're talking about unconfessed sin, we are talking about things that we're not willing to deal with for whatever reason, but yet we continue to try to live out this relationship with God, and we pray to God, and we ask God to bless our life, and ask God to give you vision for your future, and hope for tomorrow, and you're praying all these prayers, but yet over here you're like, no, I'm not going to deal with that. You're asking God to bless your life as you're living in sin. Does anybody see a problem? That is like me going and robbing a store, and when the police show up to arrest me, I say, hold on. Could you guys just help me carry this stuff out to my car? And we get upset with the police officer for not helping us carry the stuff we're stealing out to our car. Does anybody think that's a little weird? That's what you're doing in prayer. If you have unconfessed sin in your life. God, would you just bless my life? And he's like, well, what about this? I know, but could you just bless me? Unconfessed sin in your life will rob you of connectivity with God, will rob you of answers in prayer. We need to confess these things. Listen to this verse. Psalm 66:18 says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Doesn't really get much more plain than that. God, why are you not listening? God's like, because you're in sin. But guess what? Here's the hope we have. The hope we have is this. 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. So here's the thing. Every time you go to prayer, we need to pray like what David did. Here's what David did in Psalm 139. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Why does he pray that? Because the Bible says that the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. Who can know the heart of man except for God alone? And so here's his prayer. His prayer is, hey, would you search me, God? Know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Man, that's a great way to start your morning prayer. Right there. God, search me. Before I even enter into these moments of exchange, God, search me. This is the heart of David when he's writing that. He's like, I don't want there to be anything broken between us. You know, like, being married for 25 years this August. But I know when things are off between us. She knows when things are off between us. The kids know when things are off between us. And it's just a horrible, horrible feeling, right? But before we can go any deeper in an exchange, a conversation, I mean, you ever had somebody super close to you and there's something between you and you just try to ignore it and try to have normal conversations? It's the weirdest thing ever. Like, I can't believe we're having this conversation right now. You need to repent, you know? And all of a sudden, you know, that moment of exchange, where, man, will you forgive me? Boom, it just breaks down everything and pick up the conversation. one of the great prayer blockers in our life, if you're not seeing your prayers answered, maybe you need to allow God to search your heart. Because here's the thing. The thing you understand is God cares more about your heart that's right with him than he does about any request that you're putting out there right now. He loves you. He wants relationship with you. Second one is this. Selfishness. James 4, verse 3 says, and when you ask, it's talking about prayer, you do not get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. In other words, praying from the wrong perspective, praying that, man, here's the thing. Sometimes, I mean, honestly, you should just record your prayer time sometimes and then go back and listen to it and be like, who's this selfish person? Right? Like you listen to your prayer and you think the whole world revolves around you. Or is that just me praying sometimes? Like, man, you ever done that before? Just been praying and stopped for a minute and been like, man, God, please don't answer anything I just. Like, it's honestly, it's like some worship songs nowadays. You ever found yourself worshiping and all of a sudden you realize the song is all about you and not about God? There's quite a few worship songs out there like that. Like, you're like, whoa, wait a second. Who am I worshiping? Selfishness in your prayer is a big blocker. It's a big blocker. Seriously, I challenge you sometimes. Just maybe sit down and put some more thought into your prayer. Or maybe just evaluate your prayer life. And if your prayer life is constantly about you and only you, maybe there's some selfishness going on there. Right? Like, and then just deal with it. Don't be praying just for you to have pleasure. What about just saying, hey, God, what's on your heart today that you want me to use my breath to glorify today, to pray today, to speak life into today? And guess what? I guarantee if you pray that, he'll give you something. He'll give you something. So, you know, in the first one, with unconfessed sin, what's the answer? Confess your sin to him. When it comes to selfishness and self-centeredness, I'll be honest with you, if you're truly praying, like truly coming before God, it's impossible for you to stay selfish and self-centered if you truly are coming before him. What's the answer for my selfishness? Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. I tried to think of, you know, some people that maybe can make it a little more practical. It's amazing how many young people don't understand who this person is. Have you ever heard of somebody named Mother Teresa? Literally known as one of the most selfless people ever. I want to read you this quote, two of them actually. She said this, to give, it is necessary to be free from selfishness. If faith is lacking, it is because there is too much selfishness. Too much concern for personal gains. For faith to be true, it has to be generous and loving. Listen to this one. If you are discouraged, it is a sign of pride because it shows you trust in your own power, your self-sufficiency, your selfishness, and your intellectual pride will inhibit his coming to live in your heart because God cannot fill what is already full. It is as simple as that. Selfishness is a big prayer blocker. Man, when you go to him, man, confess your sin. You don't know there's any sin there? God, search me. Search my heart. Search me. I don't want to be in sin. Selfishness, man, get your focus off yourself. Focus on Jesus. Last one, and this is probably the biggest one. At least it has been in my life. Unforgiveness. Here's the reality. You're going to be offended by somebody. You're going to. Usually it's people that you're close to. Usually it's people in your community, people in your life, family, close friends, loved ones, people you care about. It's really hard for people I don't even know to offend me, right? It's really hard for, you know, when someone cruising down the road and gets road rage at me and starts flipping me off. It's like, I'm like, okay, sorry, don't know what I did, right? If I cut you off, I didn't mean to, you know? Really, it doesn't offend me. It's going to be people that are closer to you, right? You're going to be offended. But here's the thing. You cannot harbor unforgiveness in your heart and in your life. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter what they did. They're God's child just like you. Doesn't matter if you think they are or not. They were created in the likeness and image of God just like you. And I know some hearts that sometimes that's hard to come to terms with. But God loves them just as much as he loves you. But when you're in that moment of offense, that moment of bitterness, that moment of being upset, sometimes we don't see it that way. We never see it that way when we're in that moment. Not sometimes. This is how we think. Someone did something to offend you and make you upset. This is how we think. Man, what is wrong with them? God, don't you see how perverse they are and how wicked they are and how evil they are, right? Maybe you won't say that, but that's what we're thinking. But guess what? They're just as much as a son and a daughter of God as you are. And he doesn't love you more than he loves them. Matter of fact, here's his heart. His heart is this. Let me read it to you. His heart is that you would walk in peace and in unity with others. Romans 12:18. It says this. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. With everyone. Doesn't say, you know, do everything you can to live in peace with those that agree with you. With those that respond all the time with love towards you. With those that you get along with really well. To those that never say anything bad about you. That's what it says. It says, hey, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Okay? This is God's desire. Why does he say that? Now, if you have children and more than one, man, you understand what it is to have siblings fighting. Your sons and daughters or daughters fighting. And it's just like, it's honestly like. Like, it's just one of those things, right? God doesn't like it. God doesn't like it. He wants you to live in peace. But unforgiveness, bitterness, offense towards another person will block the prayers. Listen to what Mark 11:25 says. It says, but when you're praying, first, not second, not third, not fourth, not when you get around to it, not when it's convenient. Mark 11:25, but when you are praying, first, forgive everyone you are holding a grudge against. This has been the biggest prayer blocker in my life. So much so that at the start of this year, 2022, we're going in a time of prayer. Well, I was asking God, I was like, God, hey, I want to do it. And so this year, you know, every year in the past, whatever, I try to read the Bible through in a year. This year, I felt like God said, hey, I want you to do that. I want you to do a devotion. And once you finish that devotion, I want you to do another devotional. So I'm praying at the beginning of 2022, and I'm like, God, what devotional do you want me to do? He said, I want you to do one on bitterness. I said, why? Do you want me to do a message on bitterness for the church? Shut up. And so I've been going through a devotional on bitterness. And God's been working on my heart and teaching me how to walk in forgiveness. Because here's the thing, there's been some prayers I've been praying and I ain't seeing. And here's what I hear the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you got a blocker going on. And so I'm like, okay, God, do I have any sin? No, you're good there right now at this moment, okay? God, am I praying self-centered prayers? Sometimes. Well, God, do I have any unforgiveness? Yeah, absolutely. I don't want my prayers to be blocked. So God's been working on me, and so I'm, and here's the thing you need to understand, is that sometimes, you know, when it says here, and it says, hey, before you pray, first forgive everyone you are holding a grudge against. Listen to what it says, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. There's a second part to that, by the way. Not only will he not hear your prayer, he's not going to forgive you if you don't forgive somebody else. Here's the thing, sometimes that literally physically means, like, I need to call someone. And don't try to do like the, I'll just text them. I'll send them an email, you know. Sometimes that means there needs to be, you know, contact. Hey, listen, will you forgive me? And here's the thing, and I've learned this. When you call to ask for forgiveness, you don't need to spell out why you're holding a grudge against them. Hey, I just don't want to talk to you. Remember that time you really ticked me off because you did da, 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 da? Well, I just want you to know that, you know, I haven't forgiven you, and I've been holding a grudge against you for you doing that to me. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying let it go. And so it can be simply this. Hey, man, I just want you to know that I've been wrong towards you. And I've had some bitterness and some unforgiveness towards you. Will you forgive me for that? That's it. There you go. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes there is no contact. Sometimes it's just you in prayer saying, I need to let that go. Thank you for showing me that. And God, will you forgive me? And here's how you know that you've actually let it go. The next time that person's story pops up in your feed, come on, somebody. You're not like block, 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 unfriend, 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 report, spam, you know, whatever. Like, right? Like you just... You can just scroll across it and be like, oh, bless you, you know? Or you see them in the supermarket and you go hide down another aisle, you know? They see you and they come to shake your hand and you're like, you know. Man, but you got to deal with it. Because here's the thing. Why waste your breath and your time trying to have a conversation with God? When you know you have unconfessed sin in your life, when you know everything is selfish, or when you know, because the very first thing you're supposed to do, you know you have an offense towards somebody. You're wasting your time. Do something else. Seriously. I mean, so you're wasting your time. But if we really want our prayers to go deeper and we really want to see God move and have the revival that Miguel's talking about and take hundreds of people on missions trips and, man, see this place packed with people that are hungry and thirsty for God, to see your life thriving and your marriage thriving and, man, there's joy and there's hope and there's peace, you've got to deal with some stuff. You've got to allow God to search your heart. Matthew 5, 24 through 23. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar, in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come offer the sacrifice to God. What's the answer? What's the answer to unforgiveness? Seek forgiveness. Seek forgiveness. Genuine, not, because then we go back to selfishness. Oh man, I need to make something right so I can get some prayers answered. No, now you're back into selfishness. No, I need to go make things right because that's God's will. And if I pray anything according to his will, then it will be answered. Are you with me this morning? So here's what I want to do today. We're going to take communion. If you didn't get any, you can raise your hand. The ushers will come and bring some by to you. Go ahead and have the band come on up. If you need it, just slip your hand up. Ushers are coming. What is communion? This is something that Jesus himself instituted. We got some in the front here. Jesus himself instituted this. See in Scripture as the last supper. I grabbed you one, babe. It should be sitting right down there. Yeah, I hooked you up. It's a good husband right there. Winning. The Bible says that Jesus, sitting around having a meal with his disciples, he takes a moment to really unfold what's known as the new covenant. That in Jesus, there'd be this new covenant and everything we need now is found in him. The Bible says there was a cup there and some bread there, and he took the bread and he broke it, distributed it, and said, "This bread represents my body that will be broken for you." Prophetically speaking of the days that would come when he would go to the cross, he'd be beaten, where his physical body would be broken for humanity. Then he grabs a cup full of wine. He said, "This represents the blood that's going to be poured out for all humanity." He says, "In this is the new covenant." What's the new covenant, man? The forgiveness of sin, the redemption from sin in Christ. We can go directly to God the Father because of the work of Jesus. Paul picks this theme up again in the book of Corinthians as he writes to the church of Corinth. He goes back and he visits that moment with those he's teaching at the church of Corinth, and says, "Hey guys, this is something we're going to do until he returns. And every time we do it, we're going to do this in remembrance of Jesus." What are we remembering? First and foremost and primary, we're remembering that, man, my sins are forgiven, that I have new life in Christ. That because he's forgiven me of my sins and empowered me by the Holy Spirit, that I can forgive others of their sins as well. So this is what I want to do, is I'm going to pray, and then I just want us to take this together. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray as you take it. I want you to pray, "God, would you search me? There's some sin in my heart that's separating me from you, to where my prayers are blocked. Would you search me? Would you find that sin?" Or maybe you don't even need to pray that. You know there's sin in your life. You just confess it to him right now. Or in this moment, you can just say a prayer and say, "Jesus, I don't want to live a self-centered, selfish spiritual experience. I want to live my spiritual experience focused on you and living out your will for my life." And then lastly, before you take it, I want you right now, if there's anybody that you're holding a grudge against, that you need to forgive, you need to let go, mom, dad, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin, friend, someone you thought was a friend, someone that left you, someone that stabbed you in the back, someone you thought stabbed you in the back, whatever, you're holding on to a grudge. In this moment, as you're focused on Jesus, why don't you just let it go? So go ahead and take that bread. You can peel that top layer off and take that bread, and then just go and open up the cup. I'm going to pray, and then worship team's going to play and maybe sing a little bit. You're going to take this, and then we'll close out the service. God, we thank you so much for your word today. God, we thank you that you want to hear our prayers, and you want our prayers to be meaningful and powerful. Yet there's times when they're blocked. They're blocked because of sin in our life. They're blocked because we're focused on ourselves. They're blocked because we're harboring an offense towards somebody. But Lord, today I pray, as we come into this communion moment, that Jesus, you would search us. And that Jesus, we would let go and we forgive. As we take this bread and take this cup and remember you today. Go ahead, as the worship team plays, just go ahead and take communion. Wrap your head. I will make
So do whatever you want to. So do whatever you want to.
We give you permission.
God will make room for you. Oh, so do whatever you want to.
Thank you for these moments. God, I pray that we would leave here today, God, encouraged. God, we'd leave here today understanding that, Lord, as we pray according to your will and your desire, that, God, our prayers will be answered. So, Lord, search us, and God, let us walk out forgiveness with others. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. If you need any more prayer today, man, we'll be up here for a little bit. God bless you. Come back next week. Bring some money for chips and guacamole. Tap into your small group this week. If you haven't taken that next step, it's a great one to take. I'd love to help you take it. Have an amazing week.